You're listening to a special holiday edition of the Babylon Podcast. This is Jeffrey, and on behalf of Mike and Summer and Tim and Brad, we wish you a safe and happy holiday.
The Babylon Podcast was our last best hope for B5 fans. A self-contained show, 1 hour long, located on an RSS feed. A place for interviews and episode discussions for a whole bunch of humans and aliens. A shining beacon in cyberspace, all alone on the web. It was the dawn of the third age of podcasting, the year the Lost Tales came upon us all. This is the podcast about the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2007. The name of the show is the Babylon Podcast.
Ho, 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 happy holidays, and welcome back to the Babylon Podcast. I am Brad Boyer, normally the editor of this show, but I've stepped in front of the mic this time to bring you a best of show. Some highlights for the past year of the Babylon Podcast, and something just to keep you entertained while the hardworking Babylon Podcast crew takes a break for the holidays and spend some time with loved ones. So without further ado, let's get on with the highlight reel, part one of this year's Babylon Podcast. And there might just be a couple of extra goodies sprinkled throughout for you too.
Oh my God, it's in my hands. Hi, this is Chris in Indy, and here in my hands I've got Babylon 5, The Lost Tales. I just finished watching it. Oh my God. I love it. I'm going to watch it again.
Yes, we are all geeking about Babylon 5, The Lost Tales. Welcome to a special edition of the Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
Hey, it's Jeffrey Willard at Farpoint Media, Los Angeles, where I was not in The Lost Tales.
You were not in The Lost Tales. Well, there was a Kosh appearance in The Lost Tales.
Get out.
No, in the opening for the for the show, if you will, when they have a montage of characters and planets. It zips through the humans and montage of Earth, and then there's a wipe with some Star Furies leading the way, and then we go to Minbar, and we zip through to Narn with a great shot of Jakar, and that morphs into, we're guessing, the Vorlon homeworld, and our favorite Vorlon of all, Kosh. And then that wipes away, and it says Babylon 5, The Lost Tales.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of cool. I didn't know that. Boy, that was pretty much, I guess we should have given the spoiler alert right before you started going scene for scene, frame for frame.
But. That's just a sweep open of the DVD menu. So you're good. We're good. But there will be spoilers, many, many, many spoilers in this, which is why we're doing it as a separate show, so people can skip over this episode until they've seen The Lost Tales, then come back and come, you know, bring us the deep geeking rebuttal or agreeances, whichever suits them.
Yeah, let's probably begin the ongoing dialogue about Lost Tales.
Yes.
And this is also our kickoff for our Lost Tales month, right? Our August celebration of Babylon 5 Lost Tales.
Yes.
It has been 8 months and 10 years that we've anticipated this. and before we really dig into it, though, Summer, I've been dying to ask you, and I've held off because I wanted to save it for the show. Without getting into specific details right now, what was your impression?
Ow.
What?
Wow.
How do you do that without, well, I guess I could do details. I don't know.
Well, I boiled it down to two words, actually.
Mm-hmm.
very satisfying.
Yeah, that's what I said last week. It's an 8.
Yeah.
It's an 8.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some, definitely some nitpicks I could go into about the first story. The second story, not so much.
Yeah. My nits have more to do with production angles, which I suspect were dictated by budget as opposed to the story. So otherwise, I was very satisfied with what we saw. My only concern in a meta sense is that if this is the first of many DVDs to come down the pike, it is a grand send-off, beginning.
Yes.
But if this is all we get, it will be disappointing because there's so much more they can do.
Yes, there is.
But late last night, I was able to pull off a couple of clips,
yeah,
audio clips from what we did, and I thought you might like to hear just a couple of little teases so that you get a sense of what it was like to be there. Would that be cool?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let me see now. I hope I don't. Mike is going to yell at me because I know I'm going to digitally screw this up here. So just bear with me. But here's Doug talking a little bit about what The Lost Tales is all about.
This particular, The Lost Tales, which are the many stories we couldn't tell during the filming of the series, things that took place that we didn't expand upon, characters that had other sides to them that we couldn't really expose, that he can do when he wanders off and tells some of the related stories, The Lost Tales.
Yeah.
That opens up.
So Doug was in his usual form. I mean, first off, I got to tell you, it was so great to see Doug. He looks great. He sounds great. He's just so got it going on. And he is still just so enthused about Babylon 5. He loves the fact that Joe has these stories in his head. He loves that Warner Brothers gives him the chance to make these shows and tell these stories. And he is eternally optimistic about the future. And that'll come through. I'm going to divvy up these pieces, and we'll get some more stuff out there, and you'll get to see the interviews. So that was kind of fun.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
Oh, good, good, good. There was I have another little piece here that I'll share with you. This is Bruce and Tracy kind of gave a little insight for those who haven't seen it yet to how they perceive the format of The Lost Tales. It goes something like this.
Yeah, and Joe was very prepared. He knew exactly what he wanted. I think he wrote two wonderful scripts in this. It's a shorter version. It's concise. It's like a tight. And if you know Joe, I compare them sort of to a tight Twilight Zone episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come together to tell one big story. Am I right?
Yeah, I would absolutely compare it to sort of Twilight Zone X-Files. There's an homage to a lot of things that have come before, but there's nothing else like it. You know, even though there are salutes to some other genre things that have preceded it, there's nothing.
So, do you guys agree? Was it Twilight Zone-ish in its presentation?
The first one was very Twilight Zone in its story matter and its presentation. Not so much the second one. I would say the second one would be closer to what you might as well call classic Babylon 5.
Mm-hmm. The first one I would actually say that was more Outer Limits-y than it was Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, without the rubber monster, sure.
Well, you know, Peter had something to say about this exactly, that it was a really great script, great characters, and well, here's what Peter had to say.
Well, it was great. It's good to do any show in which you actually have really well-written, old-fashioned scenes, you know, between strong characters. You're not allowed to do that as an actor anymore. It's really sad. I mean, you know, you've...
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what has always been the case, is Joe knows how to get it on the page, and then... You got to work your magic after that. Well, here's what Tracy had to say, which I thought was kind of cool. This came at the end of our whole interview.
No, but I do just want to say this. Jeff, if you could pan around, there are so many people that go into making this. This is Josh and our whole team of marketing people here that never get any credit. But if it weren't for them, the product also would be crippled. It wouldn't have a way out. And I just want to say, and then there's like, you know, some security people too, but I don't know you, but you seem very nice. Nobody's attacked me. But I want to thank you all because you all did a great job of getting this out there to the fans because, you know, the creative team and the executive team and the artistic team is one team, but it all goes together.
Nicely done.
Nicely done is right. That's, you know, bottom line is, thank you, Warner Brothers, for picking up the tab and making the show and making a product and getting it out to us because, damn it, we've been waiting way too long.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
That's the end of the story. So we can sit here and rip and criticize all we want, but bottom line is we got something to play with.
Yep.
This is Jarsto from the Netherlands.
This is Edmund from Greenville.
This is John from Jersey. What do you got to say there, Edmund? Any good messages to good people? Oops.
Well, one at a time, please.
Take three.
Oh, we just keep running with this.
Well, I was going to wish everybody happy holidays and thanks for listening, but my mind's completely off track now, and I've got nothing.
Really? Rooting around in summer's brain again, are you, Edmund?
Well, I must admit guilty as charged.
We've warned you about that one.
Yes,
unfortunately, I got nothing either. Except for a little too much bravari here at the end of the season, first season of Three-Edged Sword. And as you can tell, we are exhausted and just a little happy that we are going to be able to give everybody a very nice Christmas present or holiday present of your choice as we send out the first season finale of Three-Edged Sword on Christmas Day.
And we've got an even better present for you. None of us are going to sing in this segment.
Absolutely. Yes.
Which I think may be the best present we've ever given the Babylon podcast listenership.
Believe me, if you've heard the takes of the three-part opera that we were singing earlier for your listening pleasure, you'd realize that there was very little pleasure involved in the listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you put Narn and opera into the same sentence, what do you expect?
I got nothing.
Rooting around in Edmund's brain again, are you, John?
Either that or he's implanting the thought in my head.
Yes.
Now, Edmund, we told you not to mess with our brains. Not during recording.
Oh. P10's got to get some practice sometime.
Well, believe me, right now is not the time to be looking in our brains, because clearly there's not much happening.
All right, well, everybody have a good end of this year. And, of course, enjoy the end of Three-Edged Sword Season 1. And Season 2 should be with you sometime late in January.
That's right. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. And just remember, we'll be seeing you.
Yes, Edmund will definitely be seeing you, whether you're naughty or nice.
Hello, it's Jeffrey, and I would like you to meet Tim and Summer. Welcome to the Babylon Podcast.
Hi.
Babylon 5's own ISN news reporter, Maggie Egan.
Wow.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Thank you for coming on tonight with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for asking me on. This is fun.
You're welcome, Maggie.
Productive. I'm so impressed.
It's a total surprise to them. They didn't know you, because obviously you and I worked this out about 10 minutes ago. So it's a total shock and surprise to them. And we took a few minutes to try and record an intro to the show, and we absolutely botched the hell out of it. So it's you're in for probably one of the more famous episodes of all episodes we've done tonight.
Good. Well, carry on.
Are commercial auditions way different than theatrical or episodic auditions?
You know, it's a very good question you ask. Yes, I would say here's the main difference. I can go into a commercial audition and see women I've seen over the years and were like, hi, how are you? How's your child? Oh, what's going on with your husband? Oh, you bought a new house or, you know, whatever's going on. And everybody's very friendly and caring and wondering how you're doing, and it's kind of like Old Friends Week. And when you go to a theatrical audition, not so much. It's, people are a lot more guarded and, you know, keep to themselves, and they're trying to keep that, you know, that thing alive, so they go into the room all, you know, in character. And it's a lot more serious, and you can just smell the fear, actually. It's like palpable. So
you don't have to pee on yourself for the Depends audition.
No, I don't. I you know, those commercial auditions, I love them because I have gotten such a, you know, built up such a thick skin over the years in terms of, you know, not worrying about if I got it or not, that I just go to them and I go home and I go on with my life. And I think all of us, after so much, you know, love getting those juicy roles, you know, on TV shows and movies, that, you know, it just means so much more to us, you know. And I think there's a lot more riding on it. And commercials they pay more money for the most part. You make a lot more money doing commercials.
Maggie, if you could tell us about your audition for your role as the ISN anchor on Babylon 5. That would be very interesting to hear.
You know, that's kind of interesting to me because, you know, we're talking about commercials being my bread and butter, and I know a lot of actors who come out here, they're young, and they just, you know, they've just gotten out of school, and they're just all about acting and living and breathing acting. And the idea of doing a commercial to them is abhorrent. You know, they're just, like, so above that. They'll never do that. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. This is, I've heard these kinds of remarks. And you know what? When I went into my first audition for Babylon 5, lo and behold, there is sitting Jim Johnston. Jim Johnston or Johnson?
Yes.
I think it's Johnston.
Johnston, right.
Good. Somebody remembers. And guess what? Years before my audition for Babylon 5, I worked for him on an Advil commercial in Florida, and he remembered me.
I was going to say, the other thing that was really cool about the ISN reporter is it was so integral to the story, because in a single news blurb, she could advance the storyline in what would have regularly taken a whole episode to kind of explore. She just said yesterday that blah, 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 blah blew up, and the blah, blah, blah are attacking so-and-so, and then all of a sudden you go, wow, that just jumped the whole story forward. So it was the ISN reporter was critical to the overall story arc.
Right. You know, that's true. I mean, it helped so much just drive that story, like you're saying, because, you know, I'm just have to report it, state the facts, and then we get to move on to what we really want to see, which is how are these relationships going on? You know, it just seems to me that's always kind of key, is like, who's mad at who? Who do we like? Who do we hate? Who's got a good relationship? Who's at odds with each other? So to have that exposition taken care of with tuning into the news, it just certainly helps, you know, be very succinct, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. And thus was born Desperate Housewives.
What's that?
And that was the beginning of what became Desperate Housewives. And this is all about caring about who was sleeping with who and doing what to whom, and it's about the relationships.
Exactly.
We had that on Babylon 5, plus really cool spaceships.
True. Cool sets.
Yeah.
Cool costumes. Cool makeup. Yeah, it was great.
Now, you are listed in the credits as ISN reporter. Did you ever give your character a name just so that you'd have a handle on that?
You know, it's so funny. At one of the conventions that I went to, I just assumed my name was, you know, ISN news anchor without a name, and somebody brought it to my attention that I had a name, and my name was Jane. And I'm like, it is? Wait, where does it say that? And I think they showed it to me in a script somewhere that my name was Jane. So I decided my name was Jane, no last name. No last name, basically. But I like to do it with a little Italian, no last name. You know, we have no idea why. Poor thing. You know, it'd be like Katie, no last name, instead of Katie Couric. Poor thing.
Summer, you're awfully quiet there.
I'm investigating different domain options for Maggie.
You are my hero. You are right now. Oh my God,
Maggie! What you have to understand is, about 2 weeks ago, Summer went on a domain name buying spree.
Oh,
so this is just simply an extension of a hobby for her, I think.
Oh, got it. Are you going to go buy mine and then jack up the price a bit?
I don't know. It says make offer, and I'm like, hey, I'll offer $25. Will I get it? I don't know. But I'll talk to you when we're done. I have ways. I have options.
I like it.
She has my credit card.
No. But I do want to comment. I think, for me personally, one reason the fans appreciated your presence was because it was a familiar face. You know, that comforting, authoritative yet soothing voice, telling you what's going on in the world, and not being overbearing about it, not just being down to earth, real, reporting the news. And we saw emotion on your face when there was, you know, issues going on behind, and then the emotion when Earth was freed from President Clark. That little breakdown, I think, touched everybody, and that was appreciated by me.
Like webcomics? Like to draw? How about the concept of a web community built in the interest of art and comics? Well, NightGig has what you're looking for. Visit NightGig.com and browse webcomic news, community forums, and enjoy fun features like an oikaki board and the ever-popular GigCast, NightGig's own podcast, featuring weekly interviews with webcomic celebrities and people in the biz. So go to NightGig.com and check it out. NightGig, what's your gig?
Start us off.
Well, look, I want to start off. I have here the greatest email we have ever received at the Babylon Podcast. Dear Tim, I've been meaning to write this for a while, and after listening to last week's live feed recording, I knew I needed to finally take the time. Oh, this comes from Valerie Smith, by the way, New York.
Okay.
So I listened to last week's live feed, knew I needed to finally take the time to write. You are awesome. When the show first started, I felt like I identified more with Summer, and you were just the guy who didn't like anything. It was season one. I eventually gave you a break. Within a pretty short period of time, you edged out Summer as my favorite. Every time someone cuts you off or makes fun of you, I shake my fist at the sky. They just don't appreciate you like they should. I was thrilled that even on your recent week off, you sent in a segment that they played and couldn't interrupt you. It was pure bliss, even if I did agree more with Edmund's response. In any case, I just wanted to write and let you know that you've got fans who appreciate your quirky sense of humor and your general geekiness. I even squeal a little time every time you quote Python. Please keep up the good work. Thank you for your weekly dose of Babylonian goodness. And if the others give you any attitude, you can tell them to suck it.
Oh.
The greatest email ever sent to the Babylon podcast. Thank you, Val. I really do appreciate
it. Tim, that money comes out of your part of the check.
That's fine.
Tim, hey, got therapy, a girlfriend. Neener, neener, neener.
Merry Koshmas! It is Santa Kosh. Hi, it's Jeffrey, and it is that time of year once again. Freezing temperatures, ice storms, snow drifts, dead batteries. Yes, I'm basking in the SoCal sun at Farpoint Media West, and I'm way too lazy to actually do an episode of B5 this week in the holiday spirit of things. Thankfully, Brad and Tim and Summer and Mike came up with this great idea for holiday specials, so I want to thank Brad for putting it all together and Tim for pulling all the clips together. And of course, I love Mike and Summer, the best partners a guy could ever ask for, and I appreciate all of you for listening to B5 during 2007, and I hope that, I don't know why, but I hope that you'll stick with us for 2008, because I guarantee it's going to be way better than it's ever been before, and enjoy the rest of our show. Best wishes for continued success in the coming year.
We are honored to bring back with us Bruce Beigsleitner, Captain President John Sheridan.
Hey Bruce, welcome. Hello. Did you get a new title for the Lost Tales? Are you now Pharaoh or something like that? Maybe
the Emperor? You mean? No. I'm simply the old hardworking president. You know, much beleaguered, but still going at it.
Well, Mr. President, we're glad to have you on. I know you only give 2 interviews a year.
Only to certain people. Yeah, it's been crazy. What I'm saying is it's not Babylon 5 as we remember it, okay? And yet it is, in a strange way, reminiscent. But, I mean, it's just... I think I'm safe in saying that because of the budget constraints, and we shot this in 10 days, you know, the two stories, and... We did have some Mimbari in there, if you noticed. Mm-hmm. And they were there, but basically to do any of the... We didn't have, because of time and budget constraints, we didn't have the time to do, say, Emperor Malari and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Londo or any of those characters. This time around, that's all I'm saying, this time around.
I have a question. Did you get to have any creative influence on the design of your sock puppet?
I would really like to burn that sock puppet. In fact, I take that back. I don't really want to tell you what I'd like to do to that sock puppet. even in the Interstellar Alliance, we have certain rules about torture. But just like today. We don't torture in the Interstellar Alliance. Not much.
there are those who would say that the sock puppet thing was above and beyond.
Huh?
I was going to say, there are some who would suggest that the sock puppet thing was torture beyond the... punishment above and beyond the what's necessary.
Yes, I would totally agree with them. It was agonizing. If they thought it was agonizing, imagine what we felt like. And the design of it, I don't know who did the wardrobe on that, but terrible. Absolutely terrible. Who knew it was me? Are you suggesting that the color gray was me? There's more colors to me than that. But anyway. Yeah, the sock puppet thing kind of died like flatulence in church at Comic-Con as well. I mean, people were looking at us like, what are they doing? What is this about? When I walked back, I got back into the suit, same clothes, nothing new. These were all found in the archives, the costume archives of Warner's. You know, it was so great. I just sort of got back in it, and it was just like I'd never left. It was a very strange sensation. And thank you very much for that. Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much, because it's probably my favorite character I've ever played. And, you know, it was so good to revisit him again. In a little more of a, you know, a little older, a little wiser, perhaps. Like I said to Joe, I said the younger Sheridan would have taken the situation differently, I think. I probably would have killed the kid.
Hey guys, that concludes the show for this week. Be sure to tune in again next week for the second half of the highlight reel of the past year of the Babylon podcast. I would really like to thank Summer, Tim, Jeffrey, and Mike for letting me take over the editing duties on the show. It really meant a lot to me as a fan of the show when they asked me to do this, and I was honored to do it, and it's been a blast for the past year. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to doing a lot more. So, as a thank you, I've included a highlight that I kind of snuck into a show earlier this year. It's a great Babylon 5 comedy music bit by Tom Smith called 5 Years. So let's close out the show with that, and we'll see you guys next week for more geeky highlights of the Babylon podcast.
We've invoked this twice, so we might as well just do the song now. Anybody here not seen Babylon 5? Okay, those of you who have not seen Babylon 5, we're going to catch you up in 3 minutes, okay? The entire series run, including the bad parts, of which there are only a couple, but boy. It's been 5 years since we went online. Laurel Takashima's gone, but Susan's so fine. 5 years since the Vorlon came. Someone tried to kill him, Sinclair didn't take the blame. 12 years since we held the line. 24 hours missed and out of Jeff's mind. Yesterday, it went off TV, but we'll still be okay, cause we got the story. Oh my god, how it enthralled me with Garibaldi. He's getting balder every season. He got attacked, his buddy Jackie went and shot him in the back to keep on track to plan assassination treason. Hot like Ivanova and Talia, we're gonna drow ya. And then we'll kick a little Zathras. Alabaster's in the Psychor. We got a mind war, Ironheart's a more and you're the grass. When you reveal fear of beer and watch a deer disappear without a line, is more likely from the darkness. So it's gonna give them the wings to the way, sitting on a spider with steps in the Christmas. The car's helpless and he's hustled than a holy man, trying hard not to smile in front of Sheridan. I'm the kind of guy, alas, if the Shadow Horde can't understand, then you're not a three-edged sword. I have a tendency to do my thinking with my hands. I have a history of taking off my gloves. It's been 5 years since Third Age began. John met Delin, but Anna would be back again. 5 years since we met Nerun. He ended up a hero, started out a major loon. 3 years since the Shadow War, nastier than any aliens have seen before. Yesterday, all the Narns were free, but there's still something keeping hold on Centauri. Oh, you can't fold that easy, hon. Medieval Marcus, the rescue ranger. Lorien shows up and things get stranger. Watching out the window of a white star, it came from Minbar. And then we'll steal Babylon 4. Sinclair's 4 could be a Valentine. He travels through time, and Babylon 5 is too cute. Lita comes back and she's eyeing a guy named Byron, and Rebo in a Zooty Zoot suit. Gonna meet the violence with defiance and alliance, cause the giants left the playground with a lot of blood and sorrow. Gonna get a room at Zahadum, the ship will zoom, and then go boom shabalaba, cause there's always one tomorrow. How can I help it if I think they're driving Johnny mad? All the time used to smile, now he's David's dad. I'm the kind of guy I ride a walkabout and run. Can't understand why they killed their own son. I have a tendency to shorten everybody's hair. I have a history of lopping off heads. It's been 5 years since the gathering. Beginning, middle, and Joe wrapped up the whole thing. 5 years since we saw this show. How good it was gonna get, there was no way to know. 3 years since we really knew. We voted Joey Hugo, then we gave him number two. Yesterday, it went off TV, but we've still got Crusade, so we ain't too sorry. We've still got Crusade, so we ain't too sorry. Joe, I've seen Crusade, you're gonna be sorry. Bring me the head of Lando Malari.
I love doing that to her.